And now for that self-made man that could have done a better job.
Hi, this is Keith, your host.
Are you a self-made man, Don? No, the Stork brought me.
And it's time for the Retro Radio Podcast.
Hit the road, you bum!
Well, what's she got against you? She doesn't like actors. Yeah, but what's she got against you?
The Retro Radio Podcast, the Internet's best-kept secret source for your favorite old-time radio shows. It's the place where new tech meets old tech and likes it.
I hope somebody will remember me. I like the neck.
I like the neck too, Connie. I'll meet you out on the front porch.
Now located at retro-otr.com.
Today's feature will be Fibromyalgia and Molly, from June 28, 1937. The Human Cannonball.
Hey everybody, this is Keith, and here's a suggestion of the day for supporting our podcast. If you have your own webpage, especially if you have your own blog or podcast that's related to old-time radio, or really any kind of family-friendly entertainment, feel free to contact me about being a contributor. We can get you signed up, and we can help you to submit your items to us, and we will link to you through our contributor department of our webpage. We can even start a resource page where we list your link. So, if you have a page and would like to expand where people can find you at, just contact me, Keith, through our email form on the webpage at retro-otr.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
And now, here's the Tune Wranglers, doing a song, first recorded by Duke Ellington in 1922. Here we are in the mid-1930s with They Go Wild Over Me.
Listeners. Each week we invite the listeners of Behind the Mic To write us questions about radio and the three or four we consider to be of most general interest, we have answered on the air by the radio editor of some outstanding newspaper or magazine. Tonight's questions will be answered by Al Newman, radio editor of the magazine Newsweek. Mr. Philip N. Lewis of Salt Lake City writes in to ask, how does a sponsor tell whether his program is popular or not?
Well, Mr. Lewis, there are certain organizations that specialize in finding out the comparative popularity of programs. This is mostly done by taking a cross-section of various areas in the country and finding out by telephone what programs people are listening to at the moment and what programs they've listened to during the day. The sponsor can sometimes tell about the popularity of his program by the increase of the sale of his product since the program went on the air.
Miss Beulah Allison of New York City asks this. What is meant by the expression soap opera?
Soap opera, or soap saga, as it's sometimes called, is slang for a daytime radio serial. They're so called because so many of these serials are sponsored by large soap concerns.
Mr. William White of Saranac Lake, New York, writes in to ask, I have often heard the word stooge used as pertaining to a radio character. Will you please tell me exactly what a stooge is and how did the word originate?
Well, to take the last part of Mr. White's question first, there have been a great many explanations of the origin of stooge, but one of the most logical seems to be this. In the days when vaudeville was really vaudeville, and when an actor needed someone to say a few lines in his act, he'd sometimes hire an amateur to teach him how to deliver the lines, and maybe even how to sing a song. Such a person was called a student. Either through mispronunciation or carelessness, the word became stoogent, and was eventually shortened to stooge. Through the course of years, the term stooge became applied to a professional actor who played a subsidiary part in a vaudeville act. On the air, the term stooge is generally applied to a minor comedy character. Some famous stooges of radio have been Parky Carcass, Schlepperman of the Jack Benny program, Beadle of the Phil Baker program, and Tizzy Lish on the Al Pierce Show.
Thank you, Al Newman. Thank you for answering those questions.
Don't touch that dial. There's excitement galore coming up in the next hour when you'll hear Miss Helfinger say...
Are you leaving?
Yes, I am.
Well, don't use the...
During another exciting episode of Chicken Man...
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
Chicken Man is a copyrighted production, presented courtesy of the Retro Radio Podcast.
Chicken Man debuts in July, 2010.
Now for our featured presentation.
The Johnson Wax Program. Presenting Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly. Fibber has been elected to put on a carnival tonight to pay off the debts of the Wistful Vista Literary, Drama, and Pinochle Club. He even has to get himself shot out of a cannon to wind up the affair. And here, checking up on the different concessions, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Heavenly days, McGee. Don't look so worried.
I ain't worried. I'm just running over a few things in my mind, that's all.
Go on. Your mind doesn't move fast enough to run over anything.
Oh, yeah.
Are you nervous about your cannon act?
Who, me? Yeah.
Well, I'm sure I don't know why. The cannon factory sent one of their best men to fire it for you.
Yeah. I wonder if he'd let me fire it with him inside of it.
What, and disappoint everybody?
Oh, not everybody. It'll make me happy.
Well, you talked yourself into it.
Oh,
you said you'd done it.
Excuse me, Mr. McGee.
What's on your mind, Bob?
Which way are the Hawaiian dancers?
Well, sometimes they're this way and sometimes they're this way. I could show you better if I had McGrath's pants on, Bob.
He means, where are they, McGee?
Oh, then. You'll find them between the Guess Your Weight Man and the Oddities from the Ends of the Earth and right across the midway from the Silhouette Cutter, Bud.
Thanks.
Go past Jojo the Dog-Faced Boy tent and around the south side of the Ring the Cane and get a Cupid doll.
Yeah.
Just face left and look between Princess Palooka the Snake Girl and Katie's Frozen Custard. You can't miss it.
Much obliged.
It's right back
of the winning Indian blanket.
Okay.
If you have any trouble, ask the human skeleton.
Never mind. I guess I don't want to see him.
What is he sore about?
Oh, never mind. How much have we taken in so far, dearie?
Well, I ain't sure till I check the rest of the concessions.
Well, let's go in the Egyptian mummy tent here.
Okay. Put your money away, Molly. Put it away. Never pay for anything around here. Remember, I'm running this carnival. Hi, Bud. How's business?
What do you care?
I'm Fibber McGee.
So what?
So I get in for nothing.
Well, business is kind of so-so.
Listen here, Bud. I'm in charge of this carnival, so keep a civil tongue in your head or I'll close you up.
That's so?
Yes.
But it'll still be 20 cents if you want to go in, see?
I don't want to go in, dearie.
Neither do I. All right, brother, you'll hear from me.
That'll be swell. And say, you're going to write me a letter, send it from Guatemala. Me kid brother is collecting stamps.
Oh.
All right, folks.
One more word from that fresh guy, Molly, and you know what I'd have done? I'd have leaped right up onto that platform and
paid your 10 cents.
20 cents, you're no child.
Oh,
there's Geraldine. Hi, Geraldine.
Oh, hello, Mr. McGee. Hello, Molly.
Well.
Oh, I'm having the most marvelous time at this carnival. I mean, I am, really.
Oh, that's fine.
I told Gerald I wanted to ride on the Ferris wheel, and he said the cutest thing, really.
Oh, I'll bet.
Gerald said a Ferris wheel is just a merry-go-round standing on a pine seat.
Pine seat.
Wasn't that simply rococo? I mean, wasn't it really?
Yeah, kind of a little. Kind of dizzy. A merry-go-round ought to appeal to a dizzy guy like Gerald.
Oh, Gerald just plays me sometimes, Miss McGee.
Not a bad idea.
When I told Gerald you were going to be shot out of a cannon, he nearly died.
He nearly died? What does he think I'm going to do?
Well, Gerald said he always knew you'd bullet through somehow. Bullet through? Wasn't that silly?
Oh, dear.
I told Gerald you had to crawl into the muzzle of the cannon, and he said, well, as one big mouth to another, why not?
Gerald said that? Why, that little...
Gerald said he envied you in that cannon. He said you'd have a barrel of fun.
A barrel of
fun. Honestly, I see, really.
Oh, dear. Well, speaking of cannons, a big bore like Gerald ought to be here.
Oh, Gerald says he's working on an act now where they shoot a midget out of a cat pistol and catch him in a hairnet. Is that ridiculous? I mean, is it really?
Well,
I'm going back to the dance pavilion now.
Fine.
Jimmy Greer's going to play Get Happy, so I simply must be off.
I'll say so.
Diddle, diddle, diddle.
McGee, I've been thinking it over, and I think maybe you had better get out of doing this cannon act.
What? And disappoint my public?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Excuse me, please. Are you one of the officials of this carnival?
Sis, I'm the official. What's eating, what's on your mind?
Well, I've lost my husband somewhere in the crowd.
Were you passing the hula tent at the time, sis?
Why, yes, I believe we were. How on earth did you know?
I'm psychic. In about 10 minutes or less, sis, you'll find your husband buying some little kid an ice cream cone.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, don't give it a thought, sis.
Say, how did you know where her husband would be?
Well, I figured there's nothing like an ice cream cone to cool off a hot conscience. Get it, Molly? Her husband was passing the hula hoop.
All right.
right, folks. All right, all right. Step right up and see this astounding and amazing scientific exhibit. It's exhilarating and breathtaking, folks.
What is, sir?
The way Johnson's Auto Wax and Cleaner makes your car look like new again. It's marvelous.
Take off that mustache. I know you.
Oh, I don't have any fun. Say, when are you getting shot out of the cannon, Severus?
About 5 o'clock, Harpo. Why?
Well, I was just thinking. It's a good thing you finished that fishing picture for Paramount before you risked your life.
What do you mean, fishing picture? We didn't make any fishing pictures.
Well, that's the impression I got. Isn't the title Weigh This, Please?
No, it's This Way, Please.
Oh.
And don't you make any cracks about that picture, another. That film will be distributed all over the country.
So will you when you leave that cannon. Well, so long, folks.
Killing himself.
Mr. Wilcox seems to get quite a bang out of your cannon act.
That guy. You know what I heard about him?
What?
I heard that even when he was a kid, he couldn't eat ice cream.
Too delicate?
No, he was so cold-blooded it wouldn't melt. Hey, here comes the mayor.
Hi there, Mayor Applepuss.
Oh, hello there, McGee.
Meet my wife, Molly, Mayor.
Oh, yes. How are you, Mrs. McGee?
How do you do, I'm sure.
You having a good time, Applepuss?
Oh, splendid. Fine thing for business this time. This carnival. Mm-hmm. By the way, McGee, I hear you're going to be shot.
Yes, from a cannon.
Oh, really? Well, I just heard you were to be shot. Oh, well, we can't have everything, can we, Mrs. McGee?
What?
Listen, Applepuss, if you and Molly will excuse me a minute, I got to check up on the receipts for the shooting gallery. I'll be back in a short
while. Say, Mr. Mayor, you got to do something. You have a duty to perform. Now, this cannon act of McGee's has got to be stopped. It's dangerous. It might hurt people.
Well, what can I do?
Call it off, you big loogle. I mean, Your Honor. You must safeguard the lives and property of our citizens.
Well, now, I don't know. I don't like to interfere with...
Now, hold on. You can make a speech.
Oh, yes. I'll be there, my dear.
You won't fail me now.
Oh, trust Egbert Applepuss, my dear. And thank you for calling the matter to my attention. I wonder if the band has the music for He's a Jolly Good Fellow.
Huh? Well, that's taken care of. Oh, McGee.
Yeah?
Hurry up. If you're going to do your cannon act, you better hurry and check up the receipt.
Okay. But you needn't look so dad rather happy about it. Say, do you suppose... Hey, look. There's Mrs. Wearybottom. Hi, Weary.
Oh, hello, folks. Isn't this a horrible carnival? All you get is indigestion and gum on your shoes. I hear Mr. McGee is going to get shot out of a cannon. My cousin used to do that for a living, but he got a concussion of the brain, and he still thinks he's a human bullet. He's always climbing into the garbage can, telling us to pull the trigger. You think Braddock will beat Lewis?
Now Tommy Harris sings My Last Affair.
Love is no more I can see, that's what worries me. All my dreams are shattered beyond recall, that's the mystery. Since I lost the one I love, there seems to be no skies above. My future's all behind me. Love's tears blind me. Life's a comedy. Can't you see what love and romance have done to me? I'm not the same as I used to be. This is my last affair. Tragedy just seems to be the end of me. My happiness is misery. This is my last affair. Right from the start, you took my love, tore my heart apart. Now there's nothing new to look forward to. My dreams won't come true. So make a vow, no more to love's shrine will I bow. I cross my heart and I'll steal it now. This is my last affair. Oh, right from the start, you took my love, tore my heart apart. Now there's nothing new to look forward to. My dreams won't come true. So I'll make a vow, no more love shrines I vow. I cross my heart and I'll seal it now. This is my last, my very last. This is my last affair.
Gee, for heaven's sake, quit worrying about that cannon, will you?
Oh, gee whiz. I'm liable to get hurt.
Oh, you won't get hurt. You land in the net.
Yeah. So does a tennis ball, but it gets smacked around pretty hard first. Come on in here, Molly. I've got to check up on this fortune teller. Hi, sis.
What thinks it's real?
Can it be you're wanting a fortune told, maybe?
Oh, a gypsy.
You said it.
Well, I'll tell you, sis. I'm running this carnival. I'm checking up on the receipts. How much you take in today?
So whose business is it, I'm asking?
It's me husband's business. He's in charge.
Yes.
Well, maybe he's being in charge of the carnival, but my fortune telling is something he should be keeping hands off.
Okay, sis. I ain't in any mood to argue with you. Here, tell my fortune.
Why not? But what? Is if I'm telling fortune to the manager for nothing, or for the business?
Does it make a difference in the fortune?
Yours, no. Mine, yes. Step in, please.
Okay.
Sit down. Your left hand, please. So. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. This fortune is hot sauce.
Oh, that's just a little mustard from a hot dog, I think. Well, what's my future?
Yeah, both. I'm seeing a big explosion. You're going on a long, long journey. Oi.
That's enough, sis. That's enough. How much?
Well, for you, it's a free will offering. As much as you please. Over a dollar.
I see. Free will over a dollar. Well, pay her, McGee.
Over a dollar? I ain't got any free will. Here's a quarter. An explosion. A long journey. Molly,
I don't believe it, dearie.
What makes you so positive, Molly?
Excuse me, please. Where can I find Jojo the dog-faced boy?
The third concession to the left, ma'am. Why?
Well, I'm his landlady, and I've got some cough medicine for him. He was barking something awful last night. Thanks, Napoleon.
Can you imagine that, Molly?
I wonder if she has to iron his collars, too.
He probably makes him sleep in the wine cellar. Won't you get it, Molly? Dog-faced boy, wine cellar?
Ain't funny, McGee.
I know. Nothing sounds funny to me today, either. Though you seem to be awful cheerful for the wife of a guy who's taken his life in his hands in an hour or so in a cannon.
Oh, you won't be hurt.
No.
I wonder who invented that cannon act, anyway.
Why, Johnson's Auto Wax. You take the cannon in one hand and a soft cloth in the other and watch a shiny new car.
Hi-ball. Rat, haven't I got enough trouble without you butting in all the time?
I'm sorry. And say, I want to wish you luck in that cannon, too.
Thanks,
and I'll be there to see you off, pal.
Of all that. Hey, Molly, can't we do something?
Oh, I think you better go through with it, McGee. Keep faith with your public.
Yeah, and get a slap in the face myself. I mean, myself.
Don't be silly. Oh, hello, Mr. Toot. McGee, here's Mark Toot.
Hello, folks. Quite a thing you're putting on here, Fibber. Quite a thing. Brought my cousin Cyrus in to see the carnival.
Oh, you did?
I thought I'd split when I showed Cy the sideshow. Showed Cy the sideshow.
Yeah, I heard you.
You see through it? Say, I just pulled a pip in the peep show. Fella says to me, he says, get a load of this now. He says, I see where the wrestling game is in pretty bad odor. And I comes right back at him like a whip. I says, but wait till the prize fight business gets to smelling. Boy, am I breezing them in there tonight. Oh, boy.
before you get shot out of that cannon.
That's right, Molly. Ain't you got any sympathy in your makeup?
Well, wait till I look in my makeup and see. No, I just got powdered rouge.
That one.
Oh, buy me a balloon, dearie. Oh, Mr. Balloon Man.
Hello, Babushka. Hello, somebody.
Oh, hello, Mr. Ass Kenneth Kiss-Off.
Hi, Vodka. How's the balloons going?
Not so good, somebody.
Well, you only got a few left. You must have sold a lot of them.
Balloons is bursting more faster than I can sell them. See? I'm starting out today with big bunch balloons. Maybe 20. Now what am I having? Hey! No, stop. Business is keeping away like I have started it out. See? I am thinking seriously of... four... selling hot dogs. At least hot dogs is not explosion. Three.
Well, that's too bad, sir. It must be some atmospherical conditions.
Sure, Babushka. Atmospherical conditions is bad for balloon plant too. Balloons just keep busting. If one more is banging while I'm talking with us, I'm giving up the whole business. Here, take this balloon, Kabari.
Why?
All day long, my balloons is going pop, pop, pop. I'm going out of balloons business and selling something out.
What you gonna sell?
Pop.
I don't want this balloon, Molly. What'll I do with it?
Oh, give it to that little girl over there.
Oh, it's a good idea. Hi there, little girl. You want a balloon?
Sure I do, I betcha.
Here. Now, what do you say?
Hmm?
I said, what do you say?
About what?
About the balloon.
Hmm?
Listen, sis, what do you say when people give you things?
What things?
Well, this balloon, for instance, or anything else.
Are you going to give me something else, too? That'll be dandy, I bet you.
No, I ain't going to give you something else, too. I just want some acknowledgement of what I did give you.
Sure.
Huh?
Hmm?
Dad, Reddit, don't... Listen, sis. Didn't your mama ever teach you how to say thank you?
Sure she did, I bet you.
Well, then what do you say about the balloon?
Well, none. Wasn't any good anyway, I bet.
Oh, well, how could I hide it?
Hey, mister, will you bend down a minute, will you, please?
Bend down? Why, sure, sis. Hey, what's the idea of hitting me, sis?
Well, see, I heard you say in rehearsal that you wanted a good punch at the end of my bit.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen, attention, please. Will the man who is to be shot from the cannon please come to the south end of the ground?
Oh,
that's
dear.
You. Come on, McGee. Hurry now.
Dad, why are you in such a big rush? Can't you imagine what might happen to me?
Oh, now don't worry about it. I've taken care of everything, dearie.
You mean all my insurance papers and stuff are in order?
Everything's arranged. Now hurry along. Here you are, McGee. Now here's the man the cannon factory sent to fire the cannon for you.
Oh, hurry. Hi, bud. Everything ready?
Yeah, Roxy.
I says, is everything all ready?
Sure, steady. Steady as a rock. All I gotta do is pull the trigger. How much you weigh, Johnny?
He weighs 145, sir.
You better make it 125. I've been worrying.
Better put a little more powder in.
Hey, go easy there.
Yeah.
I said, what's the use?
Ladies and gentlemen of Wistful Vista, we are proud to say that this highly successful carnival has paid off the debts of the Wistful Vista Literary Drama and Pinochle Club, and we wish to pay tribute to the man who has made this success possible.
Well, thanks, folks. I just...
A cheer for Mayor Applepuss, folks.
Hey. What's that guy got to do with it, swiping all the credit for what I did?
Be quiet now, dearie.
And now, as a fitting conclusion to this great day, folks, we present that amazing spectacle of superhuman endurance and courage. A man shot from the mouth of a cannon. Who's the palooka that's doing this stuff?
Fibber McGee.
Folks, we present the human bullet, Victor McPhee.
Thanks, folks. This is old stuff to me. I used to do this every day over in India. Boom Boom McGee, I was known as, Mendy. Boom Boom McGee, the bold race.
Ah, get started, will you?
Okay. Boots me up, somebody.
Okay, Johnny.
Higher. Yeah. A little more.
Okay.
Now, don't worry, McGee.
Oh, no.
Don't talk too much, Johnny. Slide down. Get in the can.
I can't. I'm stuck.
Well, come on out and start over.
I can't get out. I'm stuck, I tell you. Help somebody. I can't get in or out.
Stop it. This cannon act must not go on. Attention, please. Citizens, as mayor of this great little community, I cannot permit this act to go on.
Oh, sure.
It is a menace. A menace, I say, to human life and dangerous to property. I forbid it. Come down out of that cannon, McGee.
I can't, Dad Rabbit. I'm stuck in the muzzle.
Oh, dear. Out of the frying pan into the fire.
Into the what?
Fire.
Okay.
Several million smart housewives have learned how to keep their linoleum and floors polished and clean with practically no work. These women have discovered that it isn't necessary to spend time and effort in floor scrubbing. They've learned the modern, satisfactory way of protecting floors and linoleum with Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, so the dust just simply can't cling to the gleaming surface. Soil spots can be easily wiped away. Now, why don't you take a vacation from floor cleaning? You'll have more time for pleasure and relaxation this summer by ordering Johnson's self-polishing glow coat tomorrow from your dealer. You'll be proud of your kitchen linoleum after glow coat has given it a beautiful wear-resisting polish. Glow coat dries in just 20 minutes and shines as it dries without rubbing or buffing. Look for the attractive yellow can with the lettering GLO-COAT. Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. Oh yes, remember, it's economical to order the larger sizes.
See me do it, Molly? Wasn't that a beautiful dive right smack dab into the net?
Yes. Now, aren't you sorry you worried so much, McGee?
Oh, I wasn't really worried.
Oh, no?
I was just pretending. While I was flying through the air there, Molly, my whole life passed before my eyes.
Oh, really? Your whole life?
Absolutely. My childhood, high school days, college.
College? McGee, you better get shot again. You've been leading somebody else's life.
Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax, ever seen Wisconsin, inviting you to be with us again next Monday night at this same time. Good night.
This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.
Bye.